This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. The Normal Town Council is taking another step towards its choice of a pedestrian rail crossing option to connect Uptown with what's become known as Uptown South. Council members considered several options. The council also approved repairs to the Normal Theater. In the studio, stepping in for Mayor Chris Koos is Councilman Kevin McCarthy. Kevin, thanks for stopping by Sound Ideas.
My pleasure, Mike. Always happy to be here.
Is the best option for crossing the tracks the one that isn't allowed?
It's an interesting way to phrase that.
The at-grade crossing where the Constitution Trail used to be.
So to be clear, that's our preferred option as well. And a little bit of history for normal residents and your listeners is that along the project timeline when the railroad was here, the owner of the tracks, talking about the Amtrak station to the south, the proposed Amtrak station to the south at that time, or their desire to have one, they told us to close the at-grade crossing and essentially do it immediately. And although we've made a case, the mayor and the city manager and senior staff have made a case to the railroad and IDOT and ICC about an at-grade crossing, they've said no. They're citing safety reasons, et cetera, for that. But that is our preferred option, ideally, because it's the least expensive, most expeditious, just to walk right across.
Can you understand how maybe members of the public are confused why they can't cross there, but they can cross at Linden and Broadway, which are at-grade crossings?
Absolutely, I can.
Is there any logic to what the railroad is actually?
Well, you know, I won't go so far as say there's no logic behind it. They have logic. They have reasons. And to be fair to their perspective, they've certainly invested through the high-speed rail project to upgrade the safety equipment, how people move across, where exactly they cross at those sections. And so they've invested heavily to try to increase the safety at Linden and at Broadway. So in fairness to them, I think they have made it safer, but I hear your point.
So how does Joliet get away with it? 2 weeks ago, I watched passengers cross a set of tracks to board a train. One woman hauling her luggage behind her just crossed the tracks without even looking.
I think we should do a follow-up to this, and we should have the railroad representatives and the ICC representatives.
You're
and
starting
I think
to sound like Mayor Koos.
You should ask them that. Well, hey, I am saying it. No, I obviously I can't speak to why they've made their decisions. Maybe it's a grandfather. I don't know. I would just be speculating on that answer. But certainly I'm going to be sitting in a councilman chair wanting fair treatment of all communities that live on the railroad tracks.
So the council reviewed a number of different choices, eight really choices, ranging from doing nothing to building an underpass with a park. The council approved a motion to forward all of this to WSP Parsons Brinckerhoff, which is the consultants who will study all of these options. It seems like a step backwards because the council has already stated publicly, maybe even voted on this, that the underpass is the preferred option. So what's going on here?
Great question, and I think we did a good job last night at the council meeting trying to clear up some of what's really happening right now and how did we get here and what's coming next, and I think some of that speaks right to what you're talking about. So as part of the Uptown 2.0 planning process, right, we looked at various options of getting across the track. To make both areas successful, they need to be connected. You know, again, our first choice would be just walking across the tracks, but that's not an option here. And so as part of that public input, we had, I believe, four public input sessions. And overwhelmingly, the residents of Normal that participated, somewhere between 75 and 100 residents participated in those processes, overwhelmingly they told us that was their favorite option. Personally, actually, I was a little surprised by that was the favorite option. But so we got that from them. Now, we shared that as part of the process along the way. But for the feasibility study that's going on right now, we're going to seek to get grant funding. We won't try to pay for that all here. It's too big of a project for us to use all local funding.
Maybe $12 or $13 million at the top end, depending on
what
you...
Could be more. Who knows? Yeah. That's partly why we're doing a feasibility study, is to really get really strong insight on what we're really considering doing. And so to be able to go out and apply for various grant programs, particularly federal grant programs, you have to go through a process like this to meet the National Environmental Policy Act, which requires you go through a process, you consider alternatives. And you present that as part of your application process for various federal funding programs, and you can't get that far without doing this kind of a feasibility study. So we have to look at several options. And quite frankly, it's good. We probably aren't realistically looking at all of those options, but it's certainly going to inform us as a council who's going to have to make these decisions about how we invest in Uptown. Is that we have really strong insight of what it's really going to take, what it's really going to cost, timelines, et cetera, all the nitty-gritty, so we can make the best decision possible.
During public comment, council heard from some individuals that thought the city should, choose the least expensive route, which would be an overpass, which is, I guess, maybe better than doing nothing. What do you say to those people who say, why are we investing in an underpass when we could just, the overpass could have already been built?
So talking about the original overpass that was proposed, I think there's a little bit of misconception about what that actually was. Again, that was basically kind of, I won't call it an on-demand request, but we had to get them across. But that enclosed overpass was for Amtrak passengers only. That would not have been bicycle friendly, pedestrian friendly, anybody friendly really, except for Amtrak passengers. And so, as you can see, that doesn't really accomplish any objectives of connecting uptown and south and north. Doesn't do anything for the Constitution Trail users, which is the single largest park use in all of Bloomington Normal, greatest number of users of any public facility anywhere. And so was really spending a bunch of money that didn't really solve very many problems at all, actually.
And if people spend time with the Uptown plan and the Uptown 2.0 plan, do you think it becomes obvious, at least maybe to your eyes, does it become obvious that a strong connection needs to be established between the property on north of the tracks and the property south of the tracks?
Yeah, I think so. We're trying to create one continuous area, and talking about putting a big community asset on the south side, a library,
which we'll talk more about in a moment,
and potentially some residential and light retail, and so the ability to connect those two, people to go back and forth. We already know that pedestrian traffic is much higher as a result of the development north of the tracks. We know that people are parking on the outside. ISU has done some basic level, class level study of that to show how much pedestrian traffic, bike and walkers are up there. And so to cut that off, to bifurcate, to create essentially two separate uptowns, if you will, doesn't really work for the vision of how do we get this whole area stimulated.
That's Normal council member Kevin McCarthy in for Mayor Coos. We welcome the community's mayors most Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings. The Normal Theater will close for about a month this summer. What's the state of the building's heating and cooling system?
It's old and dying. Basically, the efficiency is extremely low. It's working way harder than it needs to or ought to or did when it was new. Some of the parts we just can't get anymore. And so it's really much past its useful life. And so what our staff and facilities management folks have done have gone out and spec'd systems to do that or consulting firms to help us look at that. And then pick the lowest attendance time of the year to say, okay, we're going to close it to do all that work. It's a significant project, and they'll close the Normal Theater for about a month during the slowest time. And then they're going to go ahead and do some other things while it's, painting, fixing doors.
So that's the slowest time of the year for the Normal Theater.
Right, and that's why that time frame was chosen.
$213,000 is the contract with Mid-Illinois Mechanical to replace the HVA system. Any of that cost related to the historical nature of the building? Do they have to tread lightly in that building?
Yeah, certainly they do. It's a historical building, so I'm certainly not an HVAC expert, so I can't comment on the nuances of why it's such a special system. But yeah, to be able to preserve it, and I think that's one of the risks right now of that HVAC system not functioning right, is humidity high and the like, greater wear and tear, quicker breakdown of stucco and all the things that are inside. and the like, the wear and tear is just so much faster when you don't have a good climate.
Another historic structure, the Sprague Super Service Station along historic Route 66, is getting some attention. The building has been a target of some who say the town should not have spent the money to acquire it in the first place. Council approved $16,000 to repair windows and to restore the exterior. What do you say to those who criticize public funds directed at this building?
I can certainly understand concern about investment, but what it really is an investment. So Normal is sitting on Route 66, and we have an unproductive asset that we certainly don't want to see torn down, right? It's one of the few iconic, and from what I understand, one of only a couple left, a Tudor-style gas station actually left intact on Route 66. So what we have here is a pretty valuable asset. What the unfortunate thing has been is that it hasn't been in use to do anything productive for tourism, you know, economic stimulation, bringing dollars into Uptown, bringing dollars into our restaurants, into our shops, stimulating that spending. We know that traffic on Route 66 is still very, very strong, particularly Europeans coming over here, renting motorcycles, renting cars, coming in and staying in some of these communities. And unfortunately, we just haven't been in the game. Obviously, we help support what they're doing in downtown Bloomington with the Route 66 Visitor Center. And as evidence of that being an intelligent investment, their visitors are continue to rise. And they've gone ahead and expanded the hours a little bit to make it more accessible to those folks on the weekend as well.
What kind of return do you think this structure might provide to the community at some point, financial or otherwise?
Well, we hope there's financial economic stimulation out of that, but you know, that's really hard to measure, right? So this was a grant that was initiated before the town ever got involved in the project. And so the grant was awarded, so we went ahead and said, sure, we'll take some help in fixing up the exterior, which is really what the focus of that grant was. And that's the action. There had to be local. There was a local match portion of that. So we went ahead with this, and because it was already in process and granted to do it. And then they're moving inside to get the gift shop up and running. And you know, we need an accessible, approved restroom and the gift shop to get that open. We hope those retail sales result in something, but it's really the indirect of what visitors and hopefully, right, patrons of our hotels and restaurants and shops are able to generate. And
new so
it's
section.
Hard to, directly measure that.
New section of Constitution Trail in that area, too, directing bicyclists who are touring Route 66 right to the Sprague Station as well.
Absolutely.
The mayors of Bloomington and Normal stopped by Sound Ideas on Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings. Councilmember Kevin McCarthy is setting in for Mayor Chris Koos today. You've been involved with the Normal Public Library since at least serving on an ad hoc committee in 2014 to help determine the location of the new library. The process to establish a new library is continuing with citizen and public official sessions to discuss what kind of building might be home to a new library. Where is all of this headed? The building sounds like it might be one of a kind, practically.
Yeah, so kind of as an update, they're in the conceptual phase right now. And so this is, we're in no way looking at, we've decided on design and a specific details of any kind. This is idea generation phase is what this is. And so there's been affirmed retain by the library to do this kind of investigation. And they're really looking at the footprint, how to orient the building, what might go inside, what are the features that are important and how that might get configured in conceptual design ideas.
And did you say the size of the building too?
Size of the building.
Still up for grabs.
Yeah. Right. And so there's a footprint, there's a location where we think it would be best. Now it's what are some good ideas that would go on that site? Essentially that's what's going on. It's a long way from build phase. So that's really what's happening right now is that the library actually just had a meeting. The library board had a meeting with the design firm and saw some initial ideas. I actually haven't not seen those yet. And so I can't comment on what they all are, what they got presented, but that's really where it is.
To catch people up, the location is probably on where the Parkinson parking lot is now, sort of in the Phoenix Taylor area of Uptown.
Right. So probably a little south of that, right on Linden Street. And so where near where the entrance to the police station is off of Linden Street, right in that area right there.
So removed a little bit from the railroad tracks.
Absolutely. Removed a little bit. And right now the concept is would be a parking structure of some sort just south of the railroad tracks to help accommodate patrons of not only a library, but all the other retail, housing, and stuff that's currently being envisioned.
Is the town on a trajectory to meet the living building challenge with this building where we're looking at rainwater that is recycled and even composting toilets and an HVAC? It generates its own electricity. It's basically could survive off the grid. Is that where this building might be headed?
Well, so in the on the scheme of zero to nirvana, right, of eco-friendly buildings, right, that obviously the town has been focused on that for quite a long time with some LEED certifications and LEED certified area. We're looking at the Living Building Challenge for that. That's certainly something that the library board is considering. Whether we get all the way there or not, whether some of these things are feasible currently, you know, a self-contained water treatment system and all of that, really depends on the cost. I think one of the challenges of these is that those systems are certainly, there's an upfront investment that can be costly. The great thing is the long-term cost of the building is much, much lower. And so the long-term operating cost of a facility like that that's going to accommodate a large number of public over the life of the building is projected to be much, much lower than a more conventional building.
And really, a municipality or a government would be in the best situation to sort of see that amortization.
Yeah, and so, there's some ROI math to be done in there. Is okay, this system will cost, you know, not too much and is projected to save this much money. Okay, that one seems reasonable. This one is a lot and takes a lot, costs a lot and takes a much longer time to pay back. Maybe we hold off on that system. So we're not even close to those kind of decisions yet. We're just in conceptual idea.
There's been some discussion as well about creating a 100-year building, creating some sort of enduring building, one that wouldn't even be considered to be torn down in the future. Are the advantages of such a building also in terms of higher upfront costs but lower maintenance costs? I mean, if you're using marble and terrazzo and durable surfaces or structures, those wouldn't have to be replaced as often.
Right. So, you know, as a pragmatic small business owner, right, I like to invest once and not continue to reinvest. But the reality of buildings is that you have to reinvest in some way, shape, or form. So, but yes, if you're building a building to last, durability being the key, you got to use materials that can survive, and those generally cost more money. You know, you can walk around town, right? Buildings that aren't very old, that aren't doing very well, look at the quality of the materials and the cost of those materials, and you can see the difference between the ones that are lasting and the ones that aren't. And so, basically, yeah. But the gamble really is. You know, how long can we build a building for that has as low as a maintenance cost as possible over the long term, costing the taxpayers the least amount of money in the long run?
Libraries are so much more than books today. What do you think will happen in this space? What do you want to see happen at the New Normal Public Library?
Well, you know, it's really an exciting opportunity when you think about if you've been in any contemporary libraries. And so part of the task force, we've been over in Iowa, been down to Champaign, we've been around looking at more contemporary libraries, and they're really incredibly flexible community gathering spaces that provide the community a large opportunity to do a number of different things: meetings, collaborative workspaces, maker spaces. Large rows of racks are just not where it's going. All the digital collections don't physically live on bookshelves anymore. They live in computers, and so I think that amphitheaters, we've seen social work being handled. How do we handle homeless populations that come and want to use library services for internet and the like? So I think they're a tremendous opportunity for community benefit and community support, but they have to be flexible.
And quickly, next steps for the library?
Again, we're going down this conceptual process to identify designs that are interesting and react to those, and they'll go back and refine for a while until we get to ideas that we like. And then the library board and the town council have to start to make some decisions after that.
Okay, Kevin, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas.
My pleasure.
Kevin McCarthy is a Town of Normal council member coming to the end of his first four-year term. He's facing re-election as an at-large council member. He stepped in for Mayor Chris Koos today, who normally joins us Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings. Next week, you'll hear from Bloomington Mayor Chris Koos. You're listening to Sound Ideas on GLT.